Hey there, and welcome to A Mystic Picnic, our podcast where cozy conversations unfold over stories of intrigue and laughter.
So grab a drink and join us each week for a closer look into some seriously strange tales and fascinating histories.
I'm Carla.
And I'm Ivy.
And this
is A Mystic Picnic. Hello, friends and dear listeners. We are back and better than ever. I am your co-host, Ivy.
And I am your co-host, Carla.
And hopefully we sound a little bit better.
We can always hope. Over the break, we both got new equipment. We took in some of the comments that were made about how we sounded, and we invested in ourselves. So hopefully we sound a bit better.
So elephant in the room, other than hopefully better audio quality, thanks to the feedback we got from you, dear listeners. But we also have a different name. Carla, do you want to talk about why we have a different name?
So we were originally Cryptic Picnic, and since we took a fun and needed break, which many things happened in, over those couple of months, we decided that we wanted to maybe add a little bit more, rebrand a little, do a little oomph. And as we were editing our logo, it became very apparent that our initials are the letters CP. So then I made a logo that said CP Podcast, and I was like, ooh,
we can't do that.
So we were taking 911. Yeah, I was like, that's not good. So when we talked about it, we basically just decided to change our name. So welcome to A Mystic Picnic.
Ooh, snaps for Mystic Picnic. Snaps. I'm glad we were able to keep it similar. But yeah, it's like, I don't want the FBI being called on us over a podcast that is about
people ghosts and think stuff.
It's about, yeah, like CP. What the? Nope. So, Carla, what have you been up to in our absence?
So, in the last few months, my garden failed.
Oh, okay.
So, that was fun. We have three cats, and two of them got sick, and one of them especially had to go to the emergency cat hospital because she started getting really lethargic and her eyes turned red, which, in case if you've never had that happen before, it means that something's wrong with your cat's liver and it is going into jaundice, so take it to the hospital immediately.
Okay, that is very depressing, very sad, but I'm glad your kitty cat's doing a little bit better, though.
She is she's anemic now, so we have to give her medicine. And she has an autoimmune disorder, so she's been having to stay inside, which is slowly driving my husband insane. But yeah, we're getting through it.
But she feels a little bit better, though, so that's good.
And then Ivy, what have you been up to?
Let's see, in the last, how long has this break been? I don't even know.
It's been about 3 months.
So my husband and I were like, okay, but what if we do finally move to Seattle, Washington, which we've been talking about for years. And so we did just that. I am now sitting in my brand new apartment in Seattle, Washington. So that's a little tiny bit of a change.
Tiny?
Just a teeny tiny bit.
Surprise. Like one day she's like, hey, I'm moving. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she's like, yeah, it's going to take 3 days to get to Seattle, Washington. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, 3 day drive to get up here. So woohoo. Also, the apartment complex that we moved into, it's a big complex, which is why I'm comfortable sharing it. I don't think we're going to have like stalkers trying to like hone in on my exact unit. But it's
called, please don't be a stalker, listeners.
I carry a knife on me, so whatever. The unit, so our complex is called Harbor Steps, and it was used as a filming location in The Ring, which is super, super swag. Like, they actually filmed the main character in the first The Ring movie, which is a horror movie if anybody hasn't seen it. 10 out of 10 movie, check it out. Except it is really sad because an animal dies. So I don't like that. But
did it really die?
I mean, no, but like in the movie, like when people can die in movies all they want, but when like an animal dies in a movie, like I can't do that. So,
but the animal didn't die in real life, right?
No. I mean, maybe it's dead by now because it's been out for a while, but that's also depressing. Okay, so I'm deducting a few points. The movie's like 7 out of 10 because an animal dies. But yeah, they filmed the main character, their apartment in that movie is one of these apartments in Harbor Steps, not our exact unit because we're in one of the cheap units. Fun fact about Seattle is like, especially because we're like near the water and we have like a waterfront view, there's like cheap units like us towards the bottom. But as you go to the very top, some of those units are like $6,000 a month, which is insane. Which is insanity. We don't have that kind of money. But I'm living in Seattle. I'm living in a apartment complex that they filmed The Ring at. And in just a couple of weeks, I get to meet one of my idols.
Say it.
One of my many loves. Okay, when I was a small child, one of the things that got me into the paranormal. Okay, first and foremost, I grew up in a haunted house. I had no choice but to believe in the paranormal. I grew up watching shows like Ghost Hunters and A Haunting. But also, a pivotal moment in my childhood was watching a program on TV about a haunted doll. And the haunted doll's name was Robert. He is known as Robert the Doll, infamous in the paranormal community, and I get to go to the museum that he is at in Florida in a couple of weeks and actually see the famous haunted doll, Robert the Doll, for myself, and I can't wait, Carla. I can't wait. Oh my God.
I know you've been so excited. You posted the picture on your Instagram. If you have not seen, listeners, you want to see what Robert the Doll looks like, Ivy has she ordered a Robert the Doll from their
it's the museum's gift shop.
Thank you.
They have tiny little plush replicas of him, and I have him sitting next to me right now.
It's so cute.
But I'm very excited. I can't wait. And that is my Ivy update. Is that?
Yeah. Oh,
if you want to learn about Robert the Doll, I'd like to talk to him. I mean, I guess I'll be talking to him soon, but I'll talk about him at some point on this podcast, probably because I can't help it. But I have a new paranormal podcast called Spiritus, and the recent episode was about Robert the Doll.
You gotta showcase your son. You gotta showcase him.
That's my son. Yeah, Robert is my son. So yes, I think that's our little updates. I think going forward with the podcast, something we're wanting to do is deeper dives and longer series into individual topics.
Do you want to tell everyone what we've decided to talk about for the month of October?
Throughout the entire month of October, it's going to be approximately a 5-part series ish give or take, depending on how things go. It's going to be all about Ed and Lorraine Warren, who, as a member of the paranormal community, I have very strong feelings about.
Well, and I'm adjacent to the paranormal community, and I also have opinions about.
Literally anyone who spends like 2 minutes actually Googling the real Ed and Lorraine Warren should immediately have very strong opinions about them. So we're going to be doing a real deep dive into them and famous stories and hauntings that they investigated and just how evil and problematic they were, to put it bluntly.
So if you know anything about the Warrens, what is some of your favorite Warren stories?
Oh my God. Okay, so I guess this can kind of be a little bit of a teaser, but in the case known as The Devil Made Me Do It, there is a little boy. I want to say he was maybe 11 or so years old, something like that. So a child. This was a child who had a minor learning disability. And Lorraine Warren insisted that this small child with a learning disability was actually acting out in these certain ways, not because he was a little child with a learning disability, but because he was possessed by over 40 demons and 2 devils. Yes.
That seems fine.
That is just like the tip of the iceberg. The Warrens were vile, evil people. And
maybe we should add, like, okay, so recently I went to a lunch with my sister-in-law and her family, and their son just turned 4, this summer, and he has started talking about his imaginary friend and how something will happen and he'll be like, oh, but my imaginary friend made me do it. Like, I don't remember his name. But yeah, he has like a name for his imaginary friend. Wait. And like something will happen. And it like just started. Like, he just started having an imaginary friend this summer who has started making him do things, supposedly. And so even my husband was like, oh yeah, like I have a nephew who's, he just turned 7, but when he was younger, I watched him a lot. And he would tell me stories about like his other life and his other family and how his other family died. And like, and it was, some of it could be explained because at the time his former family died in a shipwreck. And,
oh, okay.
And we kind of pieced together that he really liked the movie Frozen. And in the movie Frozen, their parents die in a shipwreck. So we're like, okay, maybe this is the connection. But something that was so weird was that there was one time my brother-in-law took the door off of their the closet to their hot water heater, their HVAC system, so that it could get fixed. And my nephew for like weeks would talk about the man in the closet.
Oh.
And I thought that was so strange. But it turns out that in like the mid-2000s, so the house that they lived in was built in like the 40s or the 50s, and they had like the names of the children on like the electrical box. So they were like a bunch of little girls. But there was a man who ended up owning the house before it was put on the market in the early 2000s, and he was shot in the street outside of their house.
That's weird. Okay.
And then my nephew's talking about seeing a man in the closet, and I'm just like, I don't like any of that. None of that.
How recent was this? How was the kid saying this?
So which child? My nephew or my husband's nephew?
The kid that's seeing the man in the closet. Because literally this morning, my twin sister, who has been breeding like rabbits, not really, but oh my God, how many kids does she even have? 1, 2, she has 4 kids. One of them is not biologically hers, but anyways, so one of my nephews, one of her kids, literally last night, and okay, so my sister and me are both hardcore believers in the paranormal. We're both married to men that are hardcore skeptics. And so my sister's a believer. Her husband is a skeptic. And so some of their kids kind of believe and then some of them don't. And this nephew in particular sides with his dad. He's like, I don't believe in any of this mumbo jumbo, ghosts aren't real. Last night, I can literally screenshot the text and show it to you, Carla. But my sister texts me and my sister's in our group chat this morning and is like, he told me this morning that he saw a dark, shadowy figure in his room last night and it freaked him out and he doesn't know what to think. And I told her, like, reassure him, like, late at night, could have been a trick of the eye. Like, sometimes, like, this happens to me sometimes when I first wake up, especially if it's, like, the middle of the night and I'm super tired. Part of your brain is still, like, in sleep mode and you can hallucinate. Sometimes it's sleep paralysis. Sometimes for me, it's not sleep paralysis and I can move and I'm seeing something that I know for a fact isn't actually there. And I'm like, reassure him of this because like he's a kid still. He's a little teen, but like, so he's old enough. I think, you know, I don't think you should go to a kid right away and be like, you saw a spirit in your room because that can scare them. I'm like, reassure him it could have been a trick of the eye, but also that if he does genuinely think that there was something in his room, spirits can't hurt you. These shadow people, watchers as people call them, we got to talk about them at some point, but like they can't hurt you. They're called watchers for a reason because they're always just standing there doing diddly squat. So
I know you and I have talked about, I have sleep paralysis. And when I was when I was younger, I was genuinely terrified of sleeping. And so I started keeping a journal because it really helped me keep track of what was going on. So, I mean, maybe keeping a journal will also help keep some of those things connected. And, like, I have really vivid dreams, and they are There's a lot to sleep paralysis that I learned as an adult, and so I just I also feel like people should know more about sleep paralysis, because I think people deal with sleep paralysis. It's not just a nightmare; it is like a full body experience.
Yeah.
I also I understand though, like waking up to a man standing in the corner of your room, or sitting in a chair that's not there, or you know what I mean.
Yep.
And you're like, what do I do? Well, who do I talk to about this?
Yeah, who do I talk to when I don't sound like I'm losing my mind?
Well, and I know that my parents thought that it was just like bad nightmares. They were just like, oh, that's just a nightmare. That's what it is. And it's so different to explain it as an adult, because it's not just a nightmare. It is literally like your body feels so trapped. Like you cannot move. Sometimes I can't breathe.
And sometimes it's not just a visual hallucination. Like, you can feel things. You can have auditory hallucinations during it. Like, it truly can be, like, all of the senses, full body experience.
So, at some point, we also are going to do an episode over my sleep paralysis experiences, because they're kind of crazy.
It's going to be an episode of us just, like, being traumatized in our sleep.
Just talking about the different creatures that I see in the night. It's fine.
What was wild for me was I had two different encounters where things that I saw during sleep paralysis, multiple times that I convinced myself, like, oh, this is just a hallucination. Like, I'm in sleep paralysis. You hallucinate during sleep paralysis. That's all that it is. That I ended up seeing outside of sleep paralysis during the day in broad daylight. So, and then I was like, ooh, okay. Maybe it's not always hallucinations. Anyways.
Thank you for joining us for our episode, our comeback kid episode of A Mystic Picnic.
Mm-hmm. We hope that you join us this October for our exciting Warren series. There's going to be so much tea. There's going to be so many hot takes. Like, I will not sugarcoat anything with the Warrens. And I can't wait. Because I can go on and on and on and on and on about them. As we saw earlier when you were like, give us a sneak peek. And I'm like, da, 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 da. So
you're like, gosh.
Yes. Thank you for listening. We are back. And join us this October for another Mystic Picnic. I almost said Cryptic Picnic. Gosh dang it.
No, we're amp now. We're amp.
Oh,
amp up your October.
Because our handle looks like it could be like Amy Stick or something when you're trying to read
it. It's all one word.
Like, who's Amy Stick? Okay. A Mystic.
A Mystic. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.